More than 4 million Americans are believed to abuse prescription painkillers or heroin. Now, the White House is pushing aggressively for medication-assisted treatment, which uses FDA-approved drugs to control cravings and reduce relapses. By some estimates, only 20% of people abusing opioids get any kind of treatment. Fewer still are on medication. That's partly because many people don't like the idea of treating a drug habit with a drug. NPR's Andrea Hsu reports.
Scientists and doctors say the case is clear. Medication-assisted treatment works best. Mark Fishman is medical director at Maryland Treatment Centers in Baltimore. He works with a lot of young people and sees many of them succeeding every day.
Tons of them. We have tons of experience with patients that remain in treatment for months and years who do very well on relapse prevention medicines.
Relapse prevention medicines. That's the term Fishman uses for drugs like Suboxone and methadone. Those drugs have been tested in scores of clinical trials. The research found that when combined with counseling, they significantly reduce drug use and keep people in treatment longer. Fishman says about half his patients are still with him 6 months in. In comparison, studies have found that without follow-up medications, relapse rates can top 90%. And so it baffles Michael Botticelli, the director of National Drug Control Policy at the White House, that so many people go through treatment without medications, over and over again, without being offered alternatives.
We wouldn't do that with other diseases. If one treatment failed for you, we'd say, let's look at other possible treatment options.
Botticelli wants people to get the full information about medication-assisted treatment. Study the evidence, he says, and then along with your doctor, make a decision about what's best for you. Now, here's what he's up against. There's a lot of stigma around the medications used to treat addiction. Methadone and Suboxone are themselves opioids. And you often hear this, that medication-assisted treatment is just replacing one drug with another. It's a view that's reinforced by personal experiences and deeply held beliefs about what true recovery is.
My name's Juan Ramirez. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict.
I meet Juan Ramirez at a 12-step meeting in Hagerstown, Maryland. He says drugs and alcohol have crippled him.
When you start robbing drugstores and drug dealers because of your drug habit, your life is not working right, you know.
His fear of either dying or spending life in prison drove him to seek help. A friend told him about a doctor in Baltimore who prescribed Suboxone.
When they said, you know, you just get your prescription once a month, I was like, yay.
He liked the way Suboxone made him feel, especially when he took a double dose. He'd buy pills off other patients so he wouldn't run out. Good news is he stopped using other drugs, and overall, he felt more functional. But in 3 years of seeing the doctor, he never felt like he'd achieved full recovery.
I was still an addict. It was just legal.
And that line of thinking extends to people whose mission it is to help people in recovery.
All right.
I meet David Lids on a quiet street in Hagerstown.
So, yeah, these are beautiful properties. Look at that ornate woodwork.
He runs this two-story Victorian as a sober home. 10 beds for men transitioning out of intensive drug treatment back into life in the real world.
House rules, no drinking, no possessing drugs when the rent is due, no stealing.
In addition to beds, Lids, who's a recovering alcoholic, offers work with his contracting business. Landscaping, painting, drywall. The emphasis here is on hard work, personal responsibility, and purpose. It's what worked for him, but even he admits it doesn't work for all of his clients. Lid said when he started all of this, he didn't know anything about medication-assisted treatment, hadn't formed an opinion about it, until he started having problems.
I was starting to get reports that somebody's Suboxone had been stolen. Wait, what? Or somebody looked high. And, well, I got a report that you looked high. Oh, yeah, because I'm on Suboxone. Or that they're trading it, stealing it, selling it, chopping it up and snorting it. That to me just looks like heroin.
He worried about sending somebody on Suboxone to a job site.
You don't want that guy operating a circular saw, you know?
And so he made a decision. He wouldn't accept anyone on it. Now that the government is ramping up resources for medication-assisted treatment and pressuring providers to offer it, his stance is threatening his business.
Now we're being told by clinical settings that we're essentially blacklisted, that they can't even mention our program if we won't take people on opiates, on Suboxone.
Mark Fishman, the addiction doctor in Baltimore, is unhappy about the gulf that separates doctors like him from recovery advocates like David Lids. He calls it a house divided.
The house divided worries me.
So he's thinking about ways to persuade the doubters. And one thought he's had, maybe he'd seem more credible if he were to say, look, we know that medication-assisted treatment is far from perfect. There's a lot we'd like to improve.
That doesn't change my claim that it should be the standard of care. But we don't have the penicillin for addiction. These are not curative medications. And it is important for us to be honest about the limitations of our treatments.
Yes, he says there are side effects. Some people do start out feeling high. Some of the drugs do get diverted. There are relapses, lots of them. But he says it's the best we have at the moment. And policymakers are moving forward. In his 2017 budget, President Obama has requested $1.1 billion in new funding to address the opioid epidemic. And the lion's share of it is geared towards making medication-assisted treatment readily available for anyone who wants it. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.